Hour number two of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a very special guest as he joins us now as a part of the season, and that is the Senior Director of Broadcasting for and play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Titans, who were the last team to get a win this week one of the NFL as they stayed up late in Denver. And good thing, in the final minute, Steven Goskowski hits the field goal after Ryan Tannehill wins the drive to put him in place. And the Titans get a measure of revenge, didn't score a single point in Denver last year, and they open 1-0 with the 16-14 win. Mike, how are you?
Better. I've slept, so I'm a lot better. sleep thing, that's not a lot of fun. But I tell you, no sleep after a win was a lot better than no sleep after a loss win.
So you didn't wind up with a middle seat flying coach, did you?
No, I didn't. No, fortunately, there were no middle seats available. We were very thankful for that as well. So the flight stuff was interesting. We got to the airport about 2 o'clock and then got to our gate about 2:30, and our flight took off at 7. And so I worked pretty much that whole time because we had to get back and do a radio show last night. We were writing a TV show that we had to tape, and then, you know, got on the plane and got some pretty good rest coming back, and then head hit the pillow last night. It was pretty good sleep. And I hadn't done that in a long time. It'd been a long time since I'd stayed up 24 hours. And in some ways it was kind of invigorating. It was a lot of fun.
Well, again, I don't think there's any question. You said it right from the right out of the bat, and that is it's a lot easier to do something like that when your sails are full with a win. And it was a back and forth football game. I don't think there's any question that you talked about, even with the absence of Von Miller, that Denver was going to give him a fight. They did that, but what do you think it meant for the Titans, who have been so good on the road in just closing out opportunities like this, to just see Tannehill pick up essentially where he left off and leading the team to win? You know, for him to throw more than 40 passes, I don't think anybody necessarily saw that coming.
No, that's not the idea, but we did have 34 runs, and that's pretty good balance in NFL terms. When you know, if it's like 55-45 in terms of percentage pass to run, that's still pretty good. What really shocked me is in the emotion of it all, with all the missed kicks and having to win it at the end, you got a real sense that the Titans had done some good things in the second half of the ball game, you know, and had sort of taken over the ball game, and yet the score didn't reflect it. Well, as I went back and really worked through it all, they really did some good stuff. If Goskowski makes the kicks, the Titans win that ball game 23-14 or 26-14. And you're saying to yourself, okay, really good defense, playing on the road, tough situation, late at night, opening weekend. That's a good win. And statistically, you know, the Titans didn't turn the ball over. They only had 5 penalties in the ball game. For people to call it ugly, they won ugly. They really didn't. What we did is we kicked ugly. That, you know, that's the real story of the ball game, is that the Titans, I think, were probably a little better than what we thought in the moment when you see 377 yards of total offense and you know, 7 of 16 on third downs after starting 0-3, scoring a touchdown on fourth down. I mean, there were a lot of good things in the ballgame. The kicking thing, though, my goodness, I said on the broadcast, we have been in the Bermuda Triangle of trying to make field goals, and considering that we are just 9 of our last 22, I mean, that's crazy and obviously has to change soon.
Mike, how nervous were you when Goskowski lined up for that 25-yarder?
Horrified nervous, ready to jump out of the booth nervous. And let me tell you what it really was, honestly. It wasn't so much about the ball game, and it wasn't as much about the win or the loss or making the kick, taking the lead. It was for Goskowski. I mean, can you imagine if he had missed that kick? I mean, to have it come crashing down as badly as it did. Listen, we're talking about, you guys know this, you're football fans. This has been one of the best kickers in the NFL for years. There's talk that this guy might go to the Hall of Fame someday. He's been so good. And to see him, the first one kind of veered in a strange way. And then, the one that he missed from 42 was like a complete duck hook. I mean, it wasn't even – it was – and so I'm sitting there thinking, where is this poor guy right now mentally? Yeah. You know, I'm feeling for him as a human being. And, you know, we're going to see now if he can come back from it and try to bounce back and be the Gostkowski that we've always known. But, oh, gosh, Jimmy, I don't know that I've ever felt that way for an athlete anywhere. I can't remember anything like that. For somebody who has been that good, I don't know that I've ever quite felt that badly.
What did you think of Vic Fangio's clock management late?
Well, I think he's like a lot of guys who were defensive head coaches, who are defensive coaches who are now head coaches. There is a reluctance in those guys to admit you're going to score. Because they're saying in their mind, and this is not every one of them, but I think it's a lot of them. We saw Belichick do this in the Super Bowl against Seattle where Malcolm Butler had the interception, remember? He let the clock keep winding down. Because there's a feeling that it puts pressure on the offense and that you hold the lead, so don't give them any help. I don't buy that. You know, I really don't buy that. I think what you do in those situations for my money is I think you're using timeouts, because I think especially there and especially the fact that we could just take a 2-point lead is a big deal. Listen, if Denver has 30 seconds – instead of 17 seconds, they've got a great shot to win that game with a 55 or a 60-yard field goal. And I watched their kicker in warm-ups, McManus. He was hitting the top of the net from 55 yards away. I mean, he was bombing it. I don't think he could have tried a 74-yard kick, but could he have tried a 60 or 65-yard kick? Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I understand the second guessing on that. I really do. And I, you know, for the Bronco fans, I get where they would feel hard toward their coach about that.
How do you think Jadeveon Clowney played?
Played well early, showed up early. I think he kind of ran out of gas, which was not surprising. You realize he played 47 of 59 plays?
No.
I've been with the team less than a week and he played nearly 80% of the snaps. But, I mean, you get it. I mean, you get it pretty quickly. I mean, early in the ball game, he was everywhere. And even when he doesn't make the plays, you see what he brings. And, gosh, if they can get Vic Beasley back and have the two of them on the field at the same time with Harold Landry, who played a wonderful game, I thought, I think they're going to be able to do something pretty special. I think in the second half, outside of the one drive, the defense played really, really well. I think they had either three or four three and outs. They've got a chance to get better, which is, to me, what's really exciting.
Our guest, Mike Keith, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And as you've talked about in the buildup to this season, Jeffrey Simmons, a full year in front of him, he was pretty special on that fourth down play at the goal line, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was, John. I mean, to see him, you know, Dave McGinnis likes to talk about Mean Joe Green, and Joe Green coached with him. And when they would go out and look at players, he would say, Coach Mack, anytime we can get a bear who plays on two legs, that's what we want. And when you see, you know, when you see some of these guys play this game, they look like grizzly bears, right? I mean, they just like, where did like a horrible image of this gigantic man coming through, and what are you going to do? You can't stop him, right? That's right. What this guy looks like. That, and that's how Coach Mack described him coming out of Mississippi State, that he is the type of player that when Joe Green was his defensive line coach, you know, Joe Green kind of fit that mold too. When Joe Green was his defensive line coach, that's what he wanted. He said, if you could give me a couple of those, I can do anything. And on that one play, I thought it was a pretty good call, because I thought Locke was going to try to run it in, and I thought he waited until exactly the right moment to pitch it, and who's there? This gigantic grizzly bear just waiting on him. And, I mean, that was it. That was and if he's not there, if it's just a normal dude, it's probably a touchdown. Instead, play over. And like him running to the ball to recover the fumble by Gordon, like anybody's going to get that ball away from him at the bottom of that pile? No chance. No chance. But how far did he have to run to go get the football? That's what you really love in defensive linemen is when they have that mindset. He's going to be a wonderful player, and I think he's going to get there in a big hurry.
That's Mike Keith with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. Another segment with Mike coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Tell the truth. Isn't this better than hearing Boston's More Than a Feeling for the 10,000th time? 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. And, Mike, you talk about great performances. What was it like to see Corey Davis healthy and helping out the Titans' offense as he had more than 100 yards in receptions?
You know, John, he's not healthy. That's the amazing part. He's on the injury list today with a hamstring, and they worked him out before the game. They didn't know if he could play. And so for him to go out and do what he did based on the fact that he's still not 100%, it's a really special thing. And it's a special thing if you know him and you know how hard he works. And you kind of understand what's going on right now with the, you know, he's in the last year of his original contract. There's obviously going to be a lot of pressure about that. There's certainly been a tremendous amount of discussion about A.J. Brown, and there should be A.J. special. Corey is a professional. He's a really hard worker. He's a good dude. And so you're always happy to see that. And when Coach Vrabel had a chance to give him a game ball, he was thrilled to do it. So very good news for the Titans all the way around. Guy's a good player. And he's had a lot of things go wrong. Obviously, being the fifth overall pick in the draft, you're held to a different standard. I get it. And he gets it too. He has not put up, you know, those kind of numbers, which you would hope when you pick a guy that high he has. But he's played well. And if he could have the kind of year where maybe he could be that 1,000-yard receiver, it would be a really special thing. I think the team, his teammates, were just elated for him with the way the game went and the way he came through, especially with some contested catches. You know, that Broncos secondary is pretty doggone good. That's, as a defense, that's a good football team. And I think if they get good play from their offensive line as they get weapons back and figure things out, you know, Broncos have a chance to have a nice year. And they're especially good in the secondary right now. So when you win – against those kind of players, that's a big thing.
Mike, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think you've ever delivered a baby like Kevin Byard. Would that be correct?
That would be correct, yes. I was in the room twice, but no, I didn't. Yeah. No.
What an incredible story that is.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that just – Kevin Byard is all pro in a lot of different ways, isn't he? I'm not surprised. I mean, he's that kind of guy. Byard, we met him at the Senior Bowl, and he immediately became one of our very favorite humans because we had this huge problem that night. At the Senior Bowl, they used to have us do interviews outside at the port in Mobile. Well, the problem with that is, you may know this, especially seeing the weather today, the wind really blows in Mobile a lot, even when there's not a tropical storm or a hurricane. So we did this interview with him, and it was a disaster. I mean, you can't hear him. You can't hear us. And we said, hey, can we move around a little bit? This thing's just not working. And he was as patient and as nice a guy. And he stood there and talked to us. He was interested in what we had going on there. And you just meet some people in this that are just different sorts of individuals. And to see Byard, to see us draft him, to see him go on to be a great player, but to also see, you know, he's the spokesperson for the United Way of Middle Tennessee. He's one of our team leaders in every certain way. So, yeah, I mean, if you told me there were any player on the team who did that and you had me guess the player, it would be him.
What are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield? Didn't play well in the first game, didn't have a good second year in the NFL. What do you think of him as far as an NFL quarterback?
Well, I think it's too early in week one, because I think a team like Cleveland is going to have a problem in week one, because you're playing Baltimore. That's enough of a problem. But right. The other part of it too, Jimmy, is a team with a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new this, new that. Those teams are really going to suffer because of the offseason, the training camp, and no preseason games. I thought every team that was in that situation, you know, for the most part, was at a disadvantage, and I think it showed there. I still think Cleveland has a chance to have a good team, and I'm still a fan of what Baker Mayfield does. I think he's a really good player. So, I always say about week one of the NFL, it's a tease. Week two will tell us more. And if I'm not mistaken, they play Thursday night against Cincinnati.
Right. Yes.
So I'll be interested to see how they bounce back. Because here's the thing. If they win and they're 1-1, then oh well. You know, the national narrative is going to be they lost by 32 points to Baltimore. And, you know, they're horrible. But guess what? Baltimore was 14-2 last year. They may be the best team in football. And it's this early in the season.
If you would, Mike, update us. Looks like there is the potential. We could see an amendment or a change in when fans might be able to perhaps get their first look at the Titans in person.
Yeah, there feels like there's some optimism. I know the media outlets in Nashville have reported that we may get some good news tomorrow. Until Mayor Cooper says it, I won't totally believe it.
Yeah.
But we play three home games in a row in October, and the feeling has been building in terms of optimism that we will get to have fans there. And I got to tell you, the no fans thing is really weird. That's one of the weirdest things I've ever been through in sports. So my hope is we get that news. We've been working on a safe stadium plan for weeks, and the mayor has been aware of that. His health department folks have been made aware of it. We got some good news in Nashville last week, and we dropped below that threshold that they were worried about in terms of number of cases per 100,000. So that was, you know, things have now trended the right way. So I'm hopeful that those reports are true and that we're going to get to host fans in October, because we're not getting to host fans this weekend against Jacksonville, and it's just going to be wacky, guys.
It will be, but you do host the Jaguars with first place in the division on the line, so there's that.
There is that, and we like playing the Jaguars, and they like playing us because we don't like one another, and so that makes it really fun. It'll be a scrap. We know that. Garner Minshew tore us up last year down there when we played against him. He did not play against us in Nashville. They played Nick Foles in that game. So he's 1-0 against us, and we've got our work cut out for us taking on this Jags team that I've said consistently I don't think is nearly as bad as what people have been making them out to be, particularly with what they have on defense. I think they've gotten rid of a lot of malcontents. I think they've still got some really good players, And I think life is a lot happier in Jacksonville right now. Indianapolis certainly suffered the consequences of that the other day.
That they did. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for making time for us today, and no doubt about it, congratulations on the win. Good luck to the team, and have a great call this weekend, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.